Hello and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast. I am your host, Rado Palamariu, Global Logistics and Supply Chain Practice Head for Morgan Phillips Executive Search. My job is to connect you with global experts, thought leaders and executives in all things supply chain. This is episode 11, and I'm happy to have with us today Ditlev Blicher, CEO Asia Pacific for DB Schenker. Originally born in Denmark, Ditlev oversees the 14,000 employees currently operating across 400 locations in 20 countries through the Asia-Pacific region for DB Schenker. With over a decade of experience based in Asia, Mr. Blicher is no stranger to the region. Prior to joining DB Schenker, he was most recently president of Asia-Pacific and Europe and co-president for the Global Freight Forwarding and executive board member for a multinational supply chain company. He received his bachelor's degree in business administration from Northwood University and completed the executive studies at Oxford University. Ditlev, welcome, and it is a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
So let's start a little bit with some questions regarding the industry. So in terms of the top strategic directions that Schenker is trying to achieve in the next years, could you share with us some of the top goals for the company that the company is trying to achieve in APAC by 2020?
Sure. So really, our core focus is around the client, started about a year and a half ago, where growth was lacking, honestly, in our organization at large. So we put a lot of focus on the client and on growth, and from that, we really had a record year in 2017, by far the highest growth rates in Asia Pacific, but more importantly, also globally. So every one of our four products were growing globally. So we're very happy with that.
Super. And obviously, we're looking at the industry, and it's transformed radically in the last couple of years, and it's accelerating because of technology. So what technology trends do you see, and which one is most likely to make an impact by 2020 or the next years?
Oh, there's many that's moving. And we recently kicked off, again, big focus on the many movements technologically that's occurring in our industry. We truly look at our industry as a burning platform. And it comes across a little bit more negative than we really take it. We take this as an opportunity for us. So that includes the likes of digitalization, robotics, artificial intelligence, what have you. But more so, it's really about getting close with your clients and exploring what are all of these new things that are happening on the horizon, how we can apply those. As before, there's also a lot of hype involved in it, and it's essential that we have a methodical way by which to sift through what's happening and only apply the aspects that have a true value add. And in case of a failure, then fail fast. So this is from our standpoint, it's not one aspect that we're focusing on, but we're very engaged in all of these very exciting things that are occurring.
Okay, and it is true that at the end of the day, technology is overhyped, or certain technologies are overhyped, and you need to make sure that it is something pragmatic and practical for the client before jumping full steam ahead. And what are some of the biggest challenges that you see logistics companies in general, and Schenker in particular, when trying to implement some of these technologies?
Well, I think it's exactly that. It's selection. Mm-hmm. There's a whole plethora of company, of upstarts, of technologies, and there's a lot of pressure, from the environment in terms of pushing the needle forward. So I really think the biggest obstacle for us and for the industry, maybe for many industries right now, is to make meaning out of the madness. So our approach as an organization was we went through a filtering mechanism where we took the 140 leaders of the organization. We mapped out everything that we saw on the horizon that was of impact to to ourselves and to our clients. And then we distilled that into 10 strategic beliefs, if you will. So these are areas that we believe are going to be really important to our clients or to us. That could be both technologically, that could be from a people standpoint, from many different aspects. And that has given us a good guide path for which to deselect aspects that we believe are hype and to select the things we truly believe that there's going to be an importance.
Mm. And then map it to the DNA of the organization.
Correct. Correct.
It's a good way of doing it, obviously. And also, I mean, it ties very well in the client-focused approach that you mentioned earlier. So moving a little bit to that aspect, you are working with some of the top shippers and manufacturers in the world. What are some of their biggest challenges? What are some of their biggest problems that that they are currently facing? And how is DB Schenker trying to address that?
So I think many industries that we deal with, including our own, are changing on many different axes, if you will. So it's not a monochromatic problem or challenge or opportunity that we're looking at. It's essentially after certainly our industry have had relative stability in terms of how it's operated, how it's looked, and what the differentiators were, has been fairly stable over the past decades. All of a sudden now, whether it's technologically driven, whether it's consumer demand, we're seeing a lot of changes on a lot of axes, as I call it. And this is happening simultaneously. So I believe the biggest challenge for us, as well as for many of our clients and friendly competitors, is to shift from a stable environment where optimization, was critical, into being more agile. How do you create a culture that becomes comfortable with failing or failing quickly, as I mentioned before? That's very much a cultural component, more so than a singular technology, if you will. And this is something that we've really put as our preeminent focus. That's around, getting that culture to shift from being precision focus and stability into really embracing the future, embracing new aspects on an ongoing basis, and take them from being potentials into being actual value adds for ourselves and our clients.
Yeah. And I mean, interesting to tap on what you just shared. I mean, I think that's happening throughout industries. Mm-hmm. Logistics has been for many, many years, actually, you can call it a more traditional, steady industry. But now with technology, with all these startups, with all these smaller, nimble players that are very quick to adapt, that are very quick to innovate, everybody is being forced to step out of the comfort zone and try to match them. And a lot of times it's not a very long duration that comes in place between activation to implementation. So I think that's crucial. Timing is crucial nowadays. And talk about new developments. I think you also we saw a lot of developments specifically about one solution that DB Schenker is very strong in, which is the rail solution. And there's been a lot of development between APEC to Europe. So can you tell us more about what DB Schenker is doing about that in the region?
Yes, that's actually interesting because that's very much of an old economy technology, if you will. So rail has been in place for many, many years. Obviously, from our DNA, we're very close to rail from being part of German Rail or Deutsche Bahn. Only recently has the connection of Asia and Europe become really viable. We've been a pioneer and a market leader in that, and we're still a market leader. And it's become a real alternative, a real tool in the design of supply chains today. That's one component that's very important for us. And the second component is the Silk Road, if you will, or the One Belt, One Road initiative, which is really focusing on not just the origin and the destination, but certainly also on all the points and all the markets between Asia and Europe. So we continue to lead in that regard, and very happy to share that just recently have we started perishable transport in our rail solution as well, into not just all the way, but also to Moscow.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And I mean, it's the One Belt One Road definitely is going to shape, is shaping already the way the routes and the trade zones are being established. And I think China is leading tremendously on that aspect, and it's good to capitalize on it and to get on the train, if you may, not get hit by the train. So it's a good product to have. And if you were an investor, and if this is a tricky question to ask, but if you were an investor, which technology-related startup would you invest in, and why?
I think as mentioned before, there's a plethora of options out there. So as an investor, I think I'll be focused on one that would be cap that would be focused on clients and capturing markets, and would also already have a captured customer portfolio, if you will. So there's many ingenious technologies out there or platforms that don't really get very far because they don't really have a client base with which to engage. So I see where there is a close connectivity to an existing client base that technology can help bring forward. So I think that access point is important, as well as just pure client centricity. You know, so some is it, you know, an organization or a solution or a platform that is really focused on client, you know, client value that that's bringing forward. So, yeah, I can't share with you one like a stock tip or anything like that as it stands, but you know, it's more the DNA of the organization than it is a particular. I don't want a one-trick pony, if you will. You know, things are moving so rapidly these days that it's really about the DNA of a particular organization that would attract me more so than the latest and greatest mousetrap.
Got it. And talk about the DNA, and indeed, all organizations and the best organizations, the DNA comes down to people. It's what we do. It's also what we engage on a regular basis with our clients in terms of headhunting services. It's the same in Schenker, and I'm sure that you know, to achieve all the goals that you've set by 2020, it has to be done through people. So, in terms of finding the right skill sets to take the organization to the next level, what types of skills would you say are critical, and you're trying to find, develop, or import into DB Schenker?
Right, it's an interesting question, actually. You know, being based out of Germany and with a long history in Germany that has a proud tradition of apprenticeships and put a lot of pride and focus into our craft, if you will. Unlike other places in the world, where you don't have the system of apprenticeships or formal education within shipping and logistics, that makes us one of the best places to learn. You know, as an organization, because we've got the formal basis of that. Going forward, as our environment is changing, we're very much focused on that as an organization. You know, what becomes critical is adaptability. You know, so we're looking at the DNA of the people that we're bringing into the organization. You know, and also we are reviewing our structures internally, how do we make ourselves a lot more nimble and a lot more adaptable? In addition to that, there are particular skills, you know, that are becoming more and more important. Some that didn't really exist, you know, a couple of decades ago, you know, and others that did exist but weren't really applied. So here we're talking about statisticians, computer engineering, quants, mathematicians, and the likes, which traditionally has not been in the DNA of a freight forwarder, but it's so important right now. The data analytics of our business, this is where there's so much upside potential. So we're deploying that at different levels in the organization, whether it's in central sort of innovation hubs that we have, some of which are purely internal, some of which are set up in collaboration with our clients, or throughout in our normal management ranks, or in our internal trainee programs. These are some of the quote unquote newer skills, if you will, that we're bringing to the table, you know, in order to drive the organization forward. I think we're very focused on our organization needs to be really pushed forward from the ground up. You can achieve so much with a top-down approach, but when things are moving this rapidly, it's so important that you have an empowered and a diverse workforce in terms of skills and backgrounds that can capture these new trends and have the autonomy, if you will, to drive the organization forward.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned the data science and data analytics capabilities. I think that's something that we are seeing from a headhunting perspective. We've been asked by clients across industries, so it seems to be like the mecca of skill sets. It's something that is fairly new. Very few people know how to do it well, but it's becoming more and more a differentiator between the businesses that succeed and the businesses that maybe don't quite make it, because it's the ability to really look in depth into your business, into the numbers, and withdraw some insights out of it to be able to action it. So it's interesting that you mentioned it as a focus point in DB Schenker as well. And indeed, this entrepreneurial mindset almost that you were talking about in terms of being grooming or importing leaders that can have that capacity to be fast, to think fast, to fail fast, but fail quickly, and shift the business is again something that we're seeing also on the side of our business. But we also have obviously logistics. There's people that have been doing this for 20, 30 years as well. And what skills do you think they should be focused on? And it might be a little bit of an overlap, but the people that are already in the industry for many, many years, how can they continue to add value? How can they retrain themselves almost?
I think it's important to also note from what we just mentioned before, you need both sides of the equation. You know, you can't just have mathematicians or some of these new skills. It's very important, you know, that you understand your clients, you understand the guts of supply chain, if you will. So within our existing, you know, existing business and staff also in our industry that's been in the industry for a long time, my recommendation there would be, number one, is not to be afraid, you know, of these trends that are happening. It's very easy to be caught up in it being fearful, all of these changes and so on and so forth. When it boils down to it, when you peel back the onion, you know, it's actually not that scary. You know, so that challenge consistently is, and instead of being fearful of what's happening, embrace that and saying, okay, it's actually not that difficult. What it could do, and what the whole intent is to make what we've been doing for our clients over the past decades, how do we optimize that? Here are some new tools that you're bringing to bear, if you will. So I think there's a lot of value that we already have in our organization and in our industry. Applying that with new technology, I believe, is the key.
Mm. And also and again coming back to the practicality and pragmatism of the new technologies. And there's a few startups that failed on this principle that they were too disconnected from the clients that they were trying to serve. So they were geeks, so to speak, that did not have the connection to the industry. So then, yes, you're trying to solve a problem, but without fully understanding the problem. So then you
exactly.
Have the risk of being too theoretical. And in terms of, if I'm to ask you also, in terms of the leadership team in Schenker, obviously, you're sitting on the most and you're leading the most, one of the most successful and prominent regions, the APAC regions. But what attributes are you looking for when it comes to taking the company to the next level? What are you looking for in the guys in the team, in your team?
So I'm looking for team members who do exactly what I mentioned, that has a, you know, experience in who we are as an organization and what are the needs that we're trying to fulfill with our clients, and is excited about the future, you know, that are seeing opportunities from this, you know, to embrace the new technologies that we are applying. I think that's a number one. Always look for people that spend a lot of time and enjoy spending time with our clients and with our employees. You know, this is where when things are moving very rapidly, you cannot be stuck in your box. You have to be out understanding how the needs, the wants are changing amongst us. Thirdly, I would say I have an absolute focus on a team methodology. You know, that people that are dedicated to making the team operate, particularly because our services are now becoming much more intertwined with those of our clients as well as our suppliers. You know, so whereas beforehand you had very neat box and this is vendor and this is customer, now those lines are getting a lot more blurred. So I think from that standpoint, you know, a big focus on team delivery is important. Mm.
If we had to talk a little bit also about the topic of culture, because it's key, it's important, coming back to also the DNA of an organization. You're obviously one of the top influencers for the Schenker culture. Are there some leadership principles that you follow in your day-to-day work?
Yes, I mean, we've, as part of our rollout, you know, in terms of pushing the organization forward, we'd identified six core values of the organization. From a personal level, in my leadership style, if you will, authenticity is important, that I try to just both lead by and also inspire my teams to do so. A commitment to the mission, you know, so a true commitment, you know, to what we're trying to accomplish is important to me. And then consistent behavior, if you will. Those are some of the things that I'm trying to apply to my leadership style.
Mm. And you got me curious. So what are the other three? So you mentioned that the six behaviors that Schenker has identified.
Right. We have it's called walk the talk. So this is essentially leading by example is one of them. One team, one goal is very much internally about how do we align and how do we align around a goal or a mission, if you will. Then we have, let me see if I remember, push limits. So pushing limits is really challenging the status quo. You know, whether it's with our clients or whether it's internal, what's possible, what's doable, push ourselves out. Mm-hmm. Take clients further, and this is very much about customer centricity, and that we need to apply in everything that we're doing, whether you're working, you know, in an in-house department or the like. And how many was that? Win together is maybe the sixth one, where we're taking a different approach with suppliers as well as with our clients. I've mentioned before that we have innovation labs set up with some of our large clients. We are now large clients of some of our clients. So it's a lot more symbiotic collaboration, you know, that we're seeing because everybody's ground seems to be shifting. So that degree of collaboration seems to be very much core of what we're doing. So those are, I think I mentioned all six.
Yes.
Those are our six core values. These are penetrated throughout the organization. And, you know, a very important component of us in terms of pushing ourselves forward as an organization to achieve our strategic targets.
And thanks for sharing that with us. And what would be on the personal side, you know, obviously you're a highly successful executive. What is a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Personal habit. I think as mentioned before, you know, trying to stay authentic, you know, at the end of the day, you know, can I look myself in the mirror, you know, in terms of how I engage with clients, in terms of the promises that I make to our clients or to our teams, our people, and of course to our shareholder as well. Outside of that, personally, I take a lot of inspiration from running. So I both in terms of being able to push yourself, but it's also sort of meditation for me. I think very well when I run. When you get your body to operate in a certain manner, it frees up I think creative capacity. So those are maybe a couple of aspects that I can share with you.
And do you have anything when it comes to staying and it's a forever changing or changing ground, like you said, or shaking ground? But do you follow any sort of supply chain resources or websites or reports, or how do you get your information? How do you keep yourself updated?
Yeah, you know, I think from that standpoint, I read some publications, but almost the thought of publications has disappeared. You know, so I have a number of different filters in place, you know, where I scan the market for news. A lot of these come directly from, you know, from companies. A lot of them come from blogs or indeed from media, just as this one. Other than that, in terms of publications, maybe more for general information are the likes of The Economist or we're a German organization. So Handelsblatt is an important aspect, and then Seabury and, you know, different Journal of Commerce, those types of aspects. But I can't say that I have one or two or three sources of information anymore. I've got a couple of filters, you know, that will scan a news feed for me, if you will.
Mm. And if you could, we're getting to the last stage of the interview, but this is a very important question for the younger generation is listening to the podcast. So if you could give some advice to a 23-year-old graduating university and wanting to achieve a great career in logistics, what would that be?
I would say come talk to us. You know, we are an organization on the move. We have really, I believe that we really pushed the organization mentally and culturally forward over the past 18 months, not just here in Asia, but this is truly a global phenomenon. So we are very much embracing the future. And importantly, so it's very much at the top of our agenda. And we also have the means and the stability for us to actually invest and capitalize on these trends. So it's we're methodical. At the same time, we're trying to apply some agility to that. So I would say come talk to us. We are very much focused on continue to be sucking up talent, if you will, in the market. And then I think from a personal stamp or piece of advice, maybe to new entrants into the people, regardless of what age that you may be, and be prepared for continuous learning. You know, continuous adaptability. And agility, as it were. So that would be my two cents on that.
Thank you. And I mean, obviously, the syntax, I think, which is learn, unlearn, and relearn, has never been as prominent as it is today. So I think that's something that we should all have very clear as a mantra nowadays. Dietlev, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for sharing insights with us today, and appreciate to have you as our guest.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to follow us on radopalamario.com/podcast for all the show notes, links, and extra tips covered in the interview. Make sure also to subscribe to our emailing list to get the news in the nick of time. If you're listening through a streaming platform like iTunes or Stitcher and you like what we do, please kindly review and give us 5 stars so we can keep the energy flowing and get more people to find out about our podcast. I'm most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me to stay tuned for our latest articles as well as future guests for the podcast. And if you have any suggestions or any other idea, please feel free to write to me. I respond to all. And also, please make sure not to miss our next episode, where we will be having a few other C-level and top leaders in supply chain joining us. Stay tuned.